The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to, you can give me a call. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you and would love to hear from you. So I released some articles yesterday on oneness theology, and there you go. By the way, I do Patreon videos, so if you're interested in supporting me personally, then you know that would be helpful. All you do is go to patreon.com/Matt Slick, and that helps. It helps us a lot. It does. This is a demanding ministry. Man, is it. And please pray for us. We certainly need that. We need a lot of prayer. I do, and so does Laura and Charlie. They work with CARM. They volunteer, and there's something not right with both of them because they volunteer and somehow also enjoy working with us. And even as I insult them right now, I can see they're smiling. Because they're on camera, at least, we gotta get the thing, here we go, there we go, and that was, so there you go, hey, a lot of fun. So, tonight I teach Bible study, be going through James chapter 3, probably the whole chapter, because it's basically one main theme, the power of the tongue, and I'll be going through, that, and then we'll go through next week, James chapter 4, it all depends, you know, it just depends on, how many topics, subtopics are in there. We got James chapter 4, then James chapter 5. And after that, they want me to do another thing on the Trinity again, which I probably will do, another in-depth examination. The people at the Bible study really enjoyed it. So I'll be doing that by God's grace. Hey, we have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's just jump on the lines here. I think it's Rudolph from North Carolina.
Yeah, it's Rudolph, man.
Come Rudolph. On, well, it says Rudorph. So I'm enjoying okay. that. I like okay. that. It's a good Rudorph.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Today, okay. I was listening to the radio. I heard something mm-hmm. that was very, you might know the answer to.
Uh-oh.
My question is, why would the federal government want to arm IRS agents?
Because they're being militarized.
Why in the world would they want to do that?
Because they're being militarized. The left, we literally were just talking about it right before we prayed and then came on the show here with the people there before we released it. They've militarized the FBI, they militarized the CDC, they're militarizing the IRS. And I suspect it's so that the leftists can go after the conservatives and audit the bejeebers out of them, penalize them, and make life very difficult for them. What's happening is a one-party system, a uniparty system. The founding fathers wanted three branches of government because they understood the depravity of man. And the three branches of government were there to help ensure a balance. But now that the left is in control everywhere, look what they've done. They've opened the borders up. The result of their energy attack on energy supply, we're having just incredible inflation. They are sending the FBI as a military branch. They're not really, but it's effective in that sense to attack the opponents of the leftists. They went after Trump. They're just doing whatever they can to try and get rid of him. And now the IRS is going to be armed and dangerous. The agents have to go out. They're militarizing everything. This is the kind of thing that happens in a banana republic, where representation is on paper only. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights are on paper only. And the functioning power of the uniparty sends out who they want to accomplish what they want. And when this is in place, we no longer have the United States. It's no longer democracy, or what was officially is a constitutional republic. It will no longer be that. It will be something else. And the United States will cease to exist as a constitutional republic. It may already have, I don't know. But this is what I see, and this is my my interpretation of things. So, yeah, why would they need that? So that they can use it to oppress the people that are against them politically. This is what's done in communist countries, the socialist countries, like Russia and China, and stuff like that. And they are also working on the credit score system. What's it called? You get a credit score, social credit score, and the higher you are, the more privileges you get, and the less you you have in your score, the fewer privileges you have. And this, the social credit system is what it's called, and this is coming to bear. In fact, the like Google and what's the other ones, Facebook and Instagram and some other things I've heard about, where you're not allowed to say certain things, and they will penalize you, and different corporations will penalize you if you have conservative views and you don't stand lockstep marching Sieg Heil to the powers that be, to the Gestapo that is inside of these corporations. That they want to force people to adhere to the leftist agenda of pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, pro-socialism, and if you don't agree, you're going to be penalized. This is occurring more and more. People don't realize also that the FBI has gone after Trump and is going after conservatives and arrested them and things like that, but yet church is being burned. There's nobody investigating them. There is technically at a very, very low level, but they're not really concerned about it because there's an attack on conservatism, and it's because the powers that be are in control, and our country is in incredibly bad shape. It's incredibly bad shape. We're being invaded from the south, and we're being invaded from within. So there you go. Okay?
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, pretty depressing. But we got to fight as Christians. It's we got to do that. All right, brother. God bless. So, folks, you know, I say this every now and then, and the reason I do this kind of comment is because of my decades of apologetics, where I've seen the depravity of man and the deception and deceit that works inside of cults, false religious systems, in Catholicism, and the centralization of power and the corruption that occurs within it. I've studied all kinds of things over the years, and the fact is that things just don't get better with time. They get worse with time. The reason that is the case, historically speaking, is because the people who like control, who want power and want control, generally are not the people who are altruistic. People want power for the sake of power. That means they're often very narcissistic. And they will then get in places of power and then work to keep themselves in power, or with nepotistic motivations, their relatives to be kept in power or their dear friends. And what happens is they become out of touch with the population. They then oppress the population when the population starts murmuring and says, no, no, no. Then what they do is start militarizing varying aspects of the government to oppress them. And then the phrase, let them eat cake, should be very important about now, because the government essentially is going to tell us, go eat cake. And if you guys don't know what that phrase is, let them eat cake, go look it up. And why it's historically important, what that meant, because it's a symbol of the inability of the intelligentsia, the aristocracy, the oligarchy, to be able to understand what the needs are and the issues of the people. And if we don't stand up against this as Christians, then I don't know how far down the hill the momentum of tyranny will continue, but it will continue. And unless we stop it. And so you got to understand that society has a momentum. Depravity has a momentum. The further down the hill it rolls, the more momentum the degradation attains. And in that process, the more damage it does on the way down. We have to stand and stop it. What we have to do as Christians is be in prayer, and ask the Lord to change our country, to raise up people who are qualified to be able to set a new course back to the Constitution, back to what we had in this country, away from liberalism and the plague of liberal thought and socialism. The plague. It's the bubonic plague, the black plague, the socialist plague, leftist plague. And it's going to destroy life. It's going to destroy economies. It's going to destroy. And this is what happens with plagues. The plague of stupidity, of narcissism, of the oligarchical control, of all of this idiocy and stupidity that is rampant. And I know that people don't want to hear this, but I'm forced in my job to study everything I can. And I get into conversations with people, and they'll bring something up. I go study it. I've had to read stuff on government, study government. I've had to study Islam. I've had to study UFOs. I've had to study near-death experiences. I've had to study drugs. I've had to study the occult. And I'm not saying I'm an expert on all these things, but I certainly have got my fingers in a lot of different areas trying to understand what's going on. And as I start to see the broad scope from 20,000 feet up, I start seeing, oh, this is how this is working. That's how that's working. These are the similarities between false religious systems, cults, and manipulation of the secular humanists and the leftists who are in control. They're doing the same kind of a thing that the cults do in their mind control and in their oppression of those who oppose. It's the same thing that happens. And we Christians have got to be on our knees praying and asking God to deliver us, deliver this country. And we can't just be praying and doing nothing. We've got to get off our rears. We've got to get involved. We've got to be on the streets. We've got to be petitioning. We've got to be protesting according to the law with peace, peacefully doing it. And we need to be organized, and we need to start raising our voices and say enough of this. And the Christians are the ones who need to do it. The Christians need to do it, and we Christians are responsible. So there you go. All right, let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Mr. Maslick. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
By God's grace, I am.
Yep. Good deal. Yep. By the way, I don't think that's a waste of time, what you're talking about. I think we all need to hear that. So you got a good amen from you over here with what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm so happy to hear that, seriously, because I feel a lot of times like I'm throwing paper towels at glaciers trying to stop them. And it's just, it's tough. And you know, I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to whine a little bit, you know. The idea of doing what I do, I'm pushing all the time and working and writing and researching. You know, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I'll tell you, there's just so much hatred for the truth from all areas of life. I'll tell you.
Yep.
It becomes tiring. So it's really, really encouraging when I hear people like you, guys like you, man, who just say, hey, praise God. You know, I'd like to sit down with you, get a cup of coffee, and just tell me how great I am for 5 minutes, just so I can get a respite, you know, and say, okay, good, I'm done. I needed that, you know. So
be careful what you ask for. 5 minutes might turn into...
Hey, come on out to Idaho, man. Come on out to Idaho. And we'll talk. I can tell, man. I like you already because, you know, you said good things about me. You said you need to hear it. So that's good enough for me. All right.
Well, here's some more icing on the cake, Mr. Slick.
I'm
kind of glad you gave me that segue. I've talked to a good person that we both know who's with the Truth Network. I'm going to keep his name off the air for right now.
Yeah, he's okay. He's all right for, you know, he's all right. He's a good guy. And I'm smiling when I say it. He is a good guy. I know who you're talking about. Hey, brother, hold on, man. We got a break. Right, okay. I want to hear what you got to say. So, hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages, talking to Jamal. He's called before. I like him. He's a good guy. Hey, we'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Jamal. Hey, Jamal, you still there, buddy?
Yes, sir, most definitely.
All right, man. All right. Okay, go for it. Okay.
Yeah, so me and that guy were talking, and he was actually talking about having you actually come to our Bible study. In person.
Where's that?
So I was like, hey, it's in, let's see, I can tell you, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Is anything good in North Carolina?
That's I don't
joke.
Know.
it was a joke. Know, But
I was going to roll with it. I was going to say it's a few things. We got Truth Network here. Anything else, I don't know. I can't speak on it.
You know what? That would be fun if a church wanted me to come out, or somebody, you know, they could pay my way, because, you know. But it'd be fun to go see the station and the people out there. It'd be fun. Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah. I've heard you mention that before about traveling places. And, of course, you know, if somebody were to invite you, I would hope they would pay your way. And I don't think it'd be a problem here.
Now, who's going to want to pay the way to a guy named Slick to come out and talk Bible with them? I mean, you know, that's a little suspicious right there.
I know that does sound a little shaky, but we'll chance it. You know, you've been on the radio for a while.
Chance it.
So I think we can trust you.
Okay, take a risk.
We'll take a risk. I have a question, and I'll see if I can frame it in a good kind of way.
Okay.
I know how God has kind of talked in a booming voice back. Mm-hmm. During quote-unquote biblical times, you know, you had the burning bush with Moses and all that. So I was kind of wondering, why is that not kind of done right now? And I know you said something before about he hides himself from the crowd. So my question is, you know, framing all that as a background, is God kind of stepping back a little bit and just letting his plan play out, or is he more involved than I think he is?
He's very involved, but we don't always see it. We just don't always see it. But you were asking the question, something popped into mind. And so in Luke 16, 19 through 31, Lazarus and the rich man, Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent." But he said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." So I was thinking about that, just as you were saying, you know, it just kind of flashed in my mind. I'm wondering, because God speaks, he works covenantally. That's how God works. He makes covenants within the inter-Trinitarian communion. He speaks, and it's an attribute of his nature, and things occur because of his speech. He binds himself by his word. The word became flesh. And I'm wondering if, in light of all of that, the reason God doesn't do the booming voice thing to people is because he could just say, "You've already got my word. That's what you should be listening to." You know?
Right.
And you know, even I'm saying that, I'm convicting myself, because it's like, man, you know? Because I want to hear the booming voice. I want to walk outside, the heavens part, you know, and the light beam comes down and a whole bit, and God says, "You know, I want you to do this." I like that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It would be.
Yeah. I've had one experience like that with God, just one. But yeah, when I got converted, it was profoundly strong, profoundly strong. Nothing in my entire life compares to it. By far, nothing.
This is where you're weeping, right?
Yeah, profound weeping in the presence of God's holiness that was so intense that that I was almost puking up my agony, snot and tears and wailing in the presence of holiness. I wept harder that day than I did the day that my son died. And in our arms. And so, you know, it's an emotional thing. I remember that. But I also remember through all that, you know, over the years, I can remember being in physical places where I'm thinking, "Lord, where are you? I want that again. I've never had it happen since. And I'm wondering if it's because then I might become an idolater. Lord, thank you for giving me that. Now I want another one. And now I'm looking to the experience instead of him.
Right.
And so, you know, I say that if you want to mess something up, you just need two things: people and time. I think we just mess it up. You know? That's what I think.
Yeah, that's real good. I had another question, but I think you pretty much already answered it. Okay. But if not, I'll call back in line. So if we can't get you out here in person, we'll definitely try to maybe get you on video or through a call-in or something. I know our Wednesday in the Word group, I know we would love to have your presence there and have you answer any questions. And I'm glad that our mutual friend is on board. He just said that he wants to try to set something up. And I said, all right, I'm going to keep coming back at you, man, because I want Slick, you know, at our group ASAP. Because not only do I have questions for you that I'd like for you to answer to the group, I'm interested to see what the other guys, what their questions would be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the sooner the better. And,
I just gotta warn you. I gotta warn you, though. People love me on the radio, and then they meet me in person, and the first thing they do after 5 minutes is, well, it was nice talking, you gotta go. That's what my wife says. I'm very good at being obnoxious and irritating, so you've been warned, okay?
No, we're gonna roll the dice, Slick, and we'll see what happens.
I like that. See, that's a man after my own heart. We're gonna take a chance with a reverend on the radio named Slick. We're gonna roll the dice, see what happens. It's funny. Yeah, I get a kick out of it. It's all right, man. Well, it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
All right.
All right, brother.
God bless.
God bless you. All right. All right, I enjoyed that. It was fun. Okay, hey, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Amor from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey Matt, Amor here, a regular caller to you. Mm-hmm. I don't have really any question for you. I just want to, very quick, commend you and agreeing with you with your first comment a while ago about the FBI or this, mm-hmm. yes, what they're doing now, raiding all the pressure. Mm-hmm. I really commend you and admire you and agreeing with what you say, and I hope you continue what you're doing. You are a good force on this. All Christians, we have to pray, you said, to stop this nonsense. I totally mm-hmm. agree, and more power to you. Continue what you're doing, and as I said again, I don't have any question to you. I listen to you almost every day when I'm at work. And
oh, good,
I commend you what you do, especially the CIA, FBI, whatever they're doing.
All right, brother. So hey, there's the music. Good to go. But thank you for saying that. God bless, buddy.
Thank you.
God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Three open lines. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Gary from Utah. Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
It's going. I'm hanging in there, man. What do you got?
Good. I've talked to you several times. You know me in Layton, Utah. Hey, listen. I like what you're talking about today. You're nailing it. And I was just thinking, I was writing down for notes for myself that I wanted to bring to you about speaking out, preachers that are speaking out against the alphabet community, and also about the corruption in government. And I've got a few of them I named off. You might know who these are too. You know who John MacArthur is? Mm-hmm. David Jeremiah, who's my favorite. Mm-hmm. Bodie Bauckham is in them. There's also two of them from Times Square Church, Carter Conlon and Tim Delina. So there's quite a few now that are speaking out against it, and they're using Bible scripture, you know, showing, hey, we can't stand for this. Us Christians need to step up. And they're talking about the leaders of the church and the men of the church. You know how you've always said the men need to step up because if they don't, sometimes the women try to. So yeah, they talk about that in some of their sermons lately. So they're right on target with what you were saying. And I said, man, I was just listening to this recently on some of their sermons.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. I didn't even know that they were preaching stuff like that. I am so happy to know that Christian men are standing up and saying, we've got to start doing what's right. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost us. And that's what's going to happen. You know, I knew a guy, and when, back when I was doing radio earlier, and he didn't own anything. Nothing at all. Nothing. No car, no home, just the clothes on his back. He had everything in other people's names. So that when he would be sued for what he would do in anti-abortion work, they'd sue him. And he'd say, fine, sue me. I don't care. Go to court. He'd lose because, you know, they have all the money. They have all the whatever. He'd say, yeah, sue me. You know, he doesn't own anything. And so this is the, we're going to have to be smart as Christians, because the left is going to come after us hard. And it's going to come after us hard if we push back. And it's going to be ready to risk a lot. Now, I've done it. I've risked a lot. I've faced attempts on my life, lawsuits, defamation, all kinds of things. But that's what it is, the nature of fighting against darkness and wickedness that is definitely on the rise. Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. We're living in the church age right now, and we're seeing a lot of this. This is all predicted. And it's funny, because a lot of the people that are, well, the ones that hate the truth, like you've been talking about, I don't care if it's atheists or others that are in cults or whatever, they just hate the actual truth. And it's not only gospel truth. Remember Romans 1:25, where it says they exchanged the truth for a lie. That's talking about all truth. Like, a man is still a man. A woman's a woman. A cat is a cat. You can't be a bowl of soup of chicken because you feel like you're chicken soup. You know, you're who you are. And they really have exchanged it. I'm saying the ones on the left. I'm glad they're a minority. They're still a small percentage, but they also are very loud.
And they're organized. People don't realize organization works. You've got to read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And it's, in fact, you know what? Let me check. I think what I did, Carm, Rules for Radicals, I summarized the book for people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's summarized, so you don't have to read the whole book. But I went through it, and there are the 13 attacks, 13 tactics used to gain control. You know, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Never go outside the expertise of your people. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Literally, we use the word enemy. When you make make the enemy live up to their own book of rules, you can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. It goes on and on. And they do this kind of stuff. And what happens is people go, oh, I don't want to get ridiculed. You know, well.
No.
I get ridiculed all the time.
Let me ask you something.
And that's just for my wife.
Oh, I do.
That was a joke.
I do too, but I don't, you know, I've witnessed to some people, but I've been pretty fortunate. I want to call it a blessing that I haven't been ridiculed too much when I've witnessed to people. I witnessed to a guy yesterday when I went and donated plasma. His name was Moses, believe it or not. He was a Spanish guy.
Oh.
He wasn't saved. He was growing up in Catholicism, but he wasn't active or whatever. But he was doing the little, you know, thing on the cross. He did a three things to your forehead. And I told him, no, don't do that. That's idolatry. But I wanted to ask you something. Have you heard of Thomas Sowell?
No.
Thomas Sowell is 91 years old. He's an economist. He's a black guy. He went to Harvard, went to a lot of those schools. You got to look him up. He teaches people, especially the black community, the ones who are sold in this, you know, hey, I hate the white man, or I hate anybody who's not black. He lets them know how they've been tricked, they've been bamboozled, and about how there's the real history of slavery, the truth about things, myths and truth. So he's pretty good. Yeah, look him up.
Thomas Sowell, S-O-U-L-E. I'm going to check him out.
No,
yeah, a lot of people don't know how evil the Democratic Party has been throughout the American history. They are deceptive. Mm-hmm. They're the ones of pro-slavery, pro-KKK, pro-Jim Crow laws, against women's rights. It's just bad. Yeah, I have the documentation on my website.
It's spelled, with Thomas Sowell, his last name is spelled S-O-W-E-L-L.
Okay, S-O-W-E-L. Oh, there it is. I'm looking at it. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Thank
you. 91 years old. He don't even look 91 at all. He looks like he's 75, and he's very coherent, much more than Creepy Joe.
We need people like Thomas Sowell
Joe
in in the White House.
So, yes.
Thomas Sowell, there he is. I'll check him out.
Him and Larry Elder and a bunch of others, Candace Nolan, they're really on top of stuff like that.
Oh, I like Candace.
They're educating the black community. And I'm talking about the ones that, we're not saying all blacks, we're just saying the ones who adhere to that cultist type mentality. There is a certain group that do.
You know, I was just talking to my wife last night. We're talking about what they're trying to do to Trump so he won't run. And if he doesn't run, let's just say, who'd be the next one? It was DeSantis, right? And I said, and I want Candace to be the VP running me. I think she's awesome.
Oh.
I do. I think
Candace she'd be great.
Oh, man. I want her to be president.
President Trump will win.
What's that?
I will. It's so awesome. I was going to say, I think President Trump's going to be more determined to run now. And I think DeSantis' time will come. His time will come. And same thing with Candace. I think her time will come.
Yeah, Candace is, I've been really impressed with Candace. And I like DeSantis more and more. And when I heard what happened with Trump, it just absolutely committed me right then and there to get out and vote and to be more vocal against the left, because it's ridiculous what they're doing. You can't trust them.
I know you got another one.
You cannot trust them.
Oh, did you hear about what he did with that prosecutor? He eventually fired him for not holding the law.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Suspended him. Yep. That's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Men need to stand up for righteousness. We do too.
He actually got fired. They said he got fired finally. That's amazing.
Good. Fire him and prosecute him if possible for not upholding the law, if there's a way to do that. They need to be... Yeah, they need to be taught lessons. It's enough.
And I love what they've done against Disney, because Disney went woke. That's terrible.
I know. That's why I love The Mandalorian, stuff like that. I won't watch it now because Disney. I won't watch it. I got rid of Netflix. I got rid of Disney. Don't watch that. We just don't watch stuff. That's just the way it is. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. But
me too.
That way, at least I can choose. Yeah.
Have you heard of Pure Flix? Check out Pure Flix.
Okay. Pure Flix. As long as they have science fiction on there. Okay.
I like science fiction. Well, thank you, Matt. It's really good to talk to you.
All right. All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right.
All right, brother.
Okay. That's Gary from Utah, and we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Drew from Iowa. Well, now we don't have anybody waiting at all. All right. So since I said it, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to... read a little bit about the Democratic Party, and I have the documentation on my website. Now, people think, Matt, you're a Christian apologist. Why are you talking about government? Because the Lordship of Jesus extends to all areas of life. And if we don't resist the evil at the highest levels of our government, then the oppression will trickle downhill and we will lose the right to preach and teach that gospel. It's going to happen, okay? Think of it as ultimately the enemy of the gospel working to destroy the gospel. Think of things in spiritual terms. That's what you should do. When you go to Ephesians chapter 6, that's what it says. In Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take up the full armor of God, and that's what the Bible says. So that's what we need to do. We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, there we go. Let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Howdy, Matt. Hey. I'm sorry that I missed your intro tonight. Because you got guts, and I know you'd be a good jarhead. But anyway,
I'm asking for trouble.
Anyway, Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wondering how they can keep them little kids in that place, you know, in that center, and they learn Scientology, mm-hmm. but they never learn any schoolwork. I don't know if the state should intervene.
Yeah, they teach them some stuff. Yeah. But, they're indoctrinated into that cult. Absolutely. Yep.
Wow. Uh-huh. Poor kids. Yeah, I watched about 20 episodes of that. Leah Remini.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I watched all of them. Yep.
I'm going to watch the whole thing. I've watched them before. She's wonderful. God bless her.
Yeah.
I think she might be a Christian because she does, you know, swear a little bit, but so does everybody, I think, even if it's just in their mind sometimes, you know? Sorry. But she, because somebody said a Christian, she said, don't call them a Christian if they're in Scientology. She said, or don't say something about Jesus. She had respect for the Lord.
Well,
I could tell.
Yeah, I don't know if she is or isn't a Christian, but I was glad that she exposed the Scientologist for what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's fearless, her and that mic. Yeah, you're right. You watched them. I'm going to watch all of them. I still have Netflix because I like a lot of the World War II stuff and all, you know. Some of them, I watched a beautiful movie, and my friend Anne Frank, oh my goodness, made by the Dutch or somebody, you know. Really fabulous. But anyway, it's just, it's definitely, they really got control of them. And they did a little bit on the JWs too, huh?
Yes, they did. Another cult.
Oh, for goodness sake, you're not kidding. Yeah. Boy, they keep them so busy, so they don't know when to sit down, you know?
That's right. That's how cults work, mind control. And there's different levels and different degrees, intensities, and styles. Yeah, it happens in Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, especially in Scientology. Absolutely. And the cult type practices are on the increase in our society with the corporations that want certain kinds of acceptable thought and behavior. And if you don't agree, then you're excommunicated, which means you don't have the right to do whatever it is they have power to enforce over you. That's the formula.
Yeah, and I just got thinking about where Tucker Carlson said when they want to control their language, then they control your thought, and then they control you.
That's why I say to people, don't say abortion or pro-choice. Don't say that. Say, no, they're pro-aborts. Don't say having an affair. Say adultery. Say the truth. Don't play their game by using their vocabulary the way they want it to be said. Don't say partner. Say husband or wife, you know, in that context of marriage. Don't do what they do. This is a degradation of truth, and they like to hide their sin in the penumbra between truth and error. Okay?
Yeah, the devil's good. Yeah. Well, so's man. they do. Okay, Matt, well, God bless you, brother. You're great.
Well, I don't know about that, but God bless, man. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, Chuck. All right. You know, I said I was going to read some stuff on the Democratic Party. I'm going to do it again. This is fully documented. It's on my website. I just went to different websites and, found history and collected some stuff, gave documentation. In 1829, the Democratic Party was founded on a platform of individual rights, state sovereignty, and pro-slavery. That's how it was founded in 1829. In 1830, the Democratic President Andrew Jackson created the Indian Removal Act, which forced indigenous people to leave their homelands. Under him, 70,000 Native Americans east of the Mississippi were terrorized, driven out of their lands by the military. 1854, a Republican Party is founded on an anti-slavery platform. In 1857, in the case of Scott versus Sanford, the court ruled that slaves aren't citizens, they are property. The seven justices voting in favor were Democrats, and the two who dissented were Republicans. This is the Democratic Party's history, and there's more to come. Oh my goodness. Let's see. In 1860, 11 slave states secede from the Union. The Democrats start the Civil War. 1863, Republican President Abraham Lincoln signs the Emancipation Proclamation. 1863, Republicans elect the first Hispanic governor, Romualdo Pacheco of California. In 1865, Lincoln was assassinated, and Andrew Johnson, a Democrat, assumed the presidency. And he was opposed to integrating the newly freed slaves. So Lincoln's vice president, a Democrat named Andrew Johnson, assumed the presidency. Johnson adamantly opposed Lincoln's plan to integrate the newly freed slaves into the South's economic and social order. Johnson and the Democratic Party were unified in their opposition to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, the 14th Amendment, which gave blacks citizenship, and the 15th Amendment, which gave blacks the vote. All three passed only because of universal Republican support. That's a quote I read. Here's another quote. President Johnson pardoned the ex-slave owners, returned their property, and gave them political control of the South. The ex-slaveholders immediately used their regained political power, as well as their wealth and ownership of the land, to reinstitute slavery in all but name. They vetoed new state constitutions, which gave African Americans the right to vote. In 1865, Republicans passed the 13th Amendment, which outlawed slavery. Let's see, 1865, Democrats established Black Codes, a state and local statute intended to marginalize blacks and keep them in indentured servitude. Poll taxes and literacy tests prevented them from voting. Also in 1865, Confederate veterans founded the KKK to oppose the Republican Party's integration of blacks. Its first Grand Wizard was a Democrat named Nathan Bedford Forrest. In 1868, Republicans passed the 14th Amendment, giving black citizenship. It was opposed by the Democrats. In 1868, Republicans passed the 15th Amendment, giving blacks the right to vote. No Democrat supported it. 1868, KKK Grand Wizard is honored at the Democratic National Convention. 1869, Reconstruction ended. Democrats reestablished white supremacy in the South with Jim Crow laws that legalized segregation that would take another 100 years to abolish. In 1871, Republican President Ulysses S. Grant dismantled the KKK. 1872, Republicans elect the first African-American senators and representatives. 1877, when Reconstruction ended in 1877, Southern Democrats regained power, began passing and implementing legal restrictions such as the poll tax, literacy tests, and grandfather clauses, effectively disenfranchising much of the new African-American electorate. In 1878, Republican Senator Aaron Sargent introduces the 19th Amendment to give women the right to vote. The Democratic-controlled Congress voted it out. In 1911, Democrat President Woodrow Wilson stuffs his cabinet with Dixiecrats, powerful Southern Democrats, and set back the cause of civil rights for decades. In 1918, the KKK is reestablished, targeting immigrants, Jews, and Catholics, in addition to blacks. In 1919, Republican Congress passes the 19th Amendment guaranteeing women the right to vote. I have here at Democrats.org, blah, blah, blah. Under leadership of Democratic President Woodrow Wilson, the U.S. Constitution was amended to grant women the right to vote. Notice how they take credit for what now is good, but then they worked against it. Yeah. 1922, Democrats try to keep lynching legal by creating a filibuster in the Senate. That one I got to study some more. I got to find out more documentation on that one. 1929, Republican Octaviano Larrazolo becomes the first Mexican-American senator. In 1929, Republican Charles Curtis becomes the first Native American vice president. In 1939, Democrat and KKK cover girl Margaret Sanger created the Negro Project and Planned Parenthood to cull the black population. 1954, Republican lawmakers outlawed segregation in public school. Opposed by state Democrats, Republican President Eisenhower sent in federal troops to enforce the law. 1959, first Republican Asian Senator Hiram Fong is elected. 1964, President Johnson successfully runs an ad titled Confessions of a Republican, Democrats learned that by accusing Republicans of racism, even without evidence, they can gain political power. That's evil. Democrat Lyndon B. Johnson, who became president after Kennedy's assassination, said in 1963, quote, "I'll have those N-words vote Democrat for the next 200 years, close quote. And another quote, quote, "These Negroes, they get pretty uppity these days, and that's a problem for us. We've got to give them a little something, just enough to quiet them down, not enough to make a difference," close quote. And the last quote I have here in this series, 1964, the Republican-controlled Congress passes the 1964 Civil Rights Act as an extension of the Republicans' 1957 and 1960 Civil Rights Acts. Democratic senators filibustered the bill for a record 75 days. So this is on my website, okay, and the documentation, there's sources there, history of the Democratic Party in America. I'm sure there's even more. And if you have some information you want to send me as documented, I can put it in the list. So you've got to understand something. When Satan came on the scene, he said to Eve, did God really say, Genesis 3, that what he did was attack truth. Hypocrisy is a form of lying, which of course is a denial of the truth. So, if you have any group, I'm not a Republican either, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but you have any group that uses accusations, even when they're not true, and they know they're not true, to misrepresent, to attack, that's a form of lying. And people who use this, their hearts are wicked because they use lies as a tool to gain power. This means they have no integrity. They should not be in office. They should not be the one proclaiming what is and is right morally and then pass laws accordingly. But this is the condition that we have in our country now. It's time for the Christians to stand up. If we don't make sure that our rights are guaranteed, then we're going to lose them. The Democrats undoubtedly will blame the conservatives, gain more power for themselves, and continue in their lying, oppressive, racist, socialist agenda and work towards the destruction of this country. And our job as Christians is to get on our knees first, stand up second, and raise our hands in the air and say, count me in to resist the oppression that's coming. Hey, folks, there's the music. I am out of here. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Hopefully, if I'm still on the air. And we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.